stranger?
Nothing more than a few years old.
The man was stooped, with only a few tendrils of pale hair pasted across a skull that showed the scars of surgery. Ryan noticed that the man's ears were reversed, so that they faced backward.
A few? What is a few?
Five.
Is there anything here older than 5 years? Yes, I can answer without hesitation that there is.
Any books?
Books? Define your terms. What precisely is a book, young woman?
Something you read.
Ah.
A wintry smile flitted for a moment across the sallow face.
The tag here that bears my name, Dr. Darren Canting. Can you read that, stranger?
Of course I can.
Then the question does not compute. You ask if there is anything you can read. You say you can read my identification pass. Ergo, you can read something that is here.
Thanks, Doctor. We'll be on our way.
Ryan led the other two along a lateral corridor and up a gentle slope.
Phew!
He fucking crazy.
Jack was about to spit his disgust on the spotless floor, then changed his mind.
Like fucking Swampy with head blown off. They all like him?
As the day wore on, it became increasingly obvious that the Wizard Island complex was filled with some of the strangest men and women Ryan and his friends had ever seen. Dr. Tardy had said there were 61 of the descendants of the original scientists left. What he hadn't mentioned was that hardly a single person could qualify for the word normal. They didn't seem like the muties who haunted the hotter parts of Deathlands, but they showed all manner of physical oddities. They were dwarfs of both sexes, one of whom pulled himself along in a spidery frame, powered by one of the silent motors that ran the inflatable boats. His head shaking, he smiled at them so radiantly that the room seemed to light up. A giant, at least 8 feet tall, with the lumpy features of acromegaly, was assisted past them, almost being carried by a pair of set guards. A young woman, face and skull totally devoid of hair, saw them watch him.
Dr. Vare is our most brilliant astrophysicist. His intelligence quotient is below 18 in all other matters.
Ryan nodded his understanding.
Well, it's off on the way, isn't it? I knew a man couldn't fart his way out of a wet paper bag, yet he could flick earwax into a plastic cup at 20 paces every time. Never missed.
The woman smiled blandly and went on her way.
Why did you say that? To the woman with no hair?
Because I wanted to see just what sort of zombies we're dealing with. Fireblast. There's every kind of freak under the sun. It's like giving little kids a bag of stun grenades to play with. Are they really just carrying on with their fucking research like they say? There's gotta be more, lover.
Jack's interest rose when they met two girls. Both were about 18, with long hair the color of prairie wheat and eyes as blue as the Kansas sky. Both wore lab coats of pale cerise, belted around their trim waists. Behind them there stood the enigmatic figure of one of the sec men, carrying several items of clothes over its arm, and a mop and a pail with the other arm.
You are the strangers everyone speaks of?
Your hair is white as paper.
The shorter one reached out tentative fingers to touch Jack's mane.
You never go out?
Out?
In fresh air, up top, above lake. Don't you ever go?
They both shuddered dramatically, giggling, then clung to each other.
Externalizing quadruple negative, stranger.
We work. Research for Central, that's all.
What's your specialty?
I'm Dr. Luella Hall. I work on neural destruction from airborne alkaloid disseminators.
And I'm Dr. Angie Flog. My work is research into neural-directed laser personalized missiles for low-intensity termination of selected targets.
I'm Jack Lauren, and I fuck pigs.
The boy gave a low bow. The two doctors held on to each other for support, eyes squeezed shut, tears flowing over their smooth cheeks. At first, Ryan had thought these two might have been the only normal scientists in the complex, but as the laughter went on, scraping at his ears, he realized they were just as weird as the others.
What's that smell of... Oh, Gaia!
Ryan looked where she was staring and exhaled a sigh of revulsion. The laughter had affected the two young women to such an extent that both had lost all control of bladder and bowels. Their legs were streaked with the vivid evidence of their joint failure. Without another word, they tottered away down the corridor, leaving the mute sec man to put the clothes down and mop methodically at the mess they'd left behind. Ryan, Christy, and Jack waited a while, then moved away in a different direction. Later, when they met up for their last meal of the day, they all had similar tales of the complex's strange menagerie of scientists. The clock showed that it was around C in the green. The food was identical with the middle meal, but there seemed to be less of it. Finnegan tucked into it with such eagerness that he managed to snap the bowl off his plastic spoon, leaving a jagged end. He held it up silently for the others to examine. Ryan shook his head.
Too weak, Finn, I guess.
Better than fucking nothing.
Give it here.
Finn passed Ryan the broken spoon.
Look.
He drove the broken end into his own arm, against the soft material of the coveralls. The plastic was so brittle that it splintered again, doing no damage at all.
Anyone lend me their fucking spoon when they finished eating?
Just before Green D, the door of their quarters hissed open, and in toddled Dr. Ethel Tardy, accompanied by a limping man with an artificial plas limb where his right arm should have been. They were accompanied by four Mutie Sec men, holding their laser guns at the high port.
May Central be with you.
Ryan stayed seated on his narrow bed.
Hi there.
You have seen what you wished, visit-wise? Monitoring reveals you have.
We've been allowed to see what you wanted us to see. Nothing else.
Why can we not have unlimited access to all aspects of Project Eurydice? What is there for you to hide?
The cherubic smile vanished, and the woman frowned.
Visiting personnel take care. Imperative cooperation with us, or...
The sentence dangled between them unfinished. The threat as clear as a knife blade.
What do you want, Dr. Tardy?
It is time for questioning. To find out about the rest of you.
Why do you say the rest of us? What do you know?
The smile came flickering back, hanging on the soft little cheeks, never reaching the pale eyes.
We know about Dr. Tanner. He is someone... But that is not for you. Only grades Delta and above. But we wish to know more about the rest of you. Him first.
She pointed a stubby finger at Jack.
He will come with us.
What for?
Ryan finally stood. He noticed the way the muzzles of the laser blaster swung toward him.
We make decisions, stranger.
The smile had gone again, fast as the dew off a summer lawn.
There are blood tests, encephalographs, bone marrow scrapings, sight and hearing, the usual for strangers on Wizard Island.
Don't like the sound of that.
The albino stood poised on the balls of his feet, hands hanging loose, his body relaxed, ready for action. JB also rose.
Me neither.
Resistance is negative. The blasters are set on level 2. Scorch flesh only. If put up to 20, instant death. Ugly termination.
It was a tense moment. Ryan was aware that every one of his 6 companions was razor ready, needing only the flicker of a signal for him to attack, regardless of the opposition. Jack stepped forward.
I'll go with him. No point getting chilled now. Wait chance, eh?
Sure, kid.
Take care, Jack.
Finn gave him the thumbs-up signal, getting a nod from the young boy. Ryan suddenly realized how young and slight Jack was, seeing him as he moved to stand next to one of the sec guards. In the coveralls and sneakers, he seemed to be about 10 years old. The jagged scar at the corner of the lad's cheek tugged up the corner of his mouth, making it look as though he was giving them a wry grin. His white hair floated like a mist around the nape of his neck.
Wise, decision-wise. Come, Dr. Avian.
The other man hadn't spoken, had merely observed what was happening. Once, he lifted the false arm to scratch at the tip of his nose with a creaking finger. Now he reached out with it and tugged Jack by the sleeve.
Hey!
The albino jerked away automatically, knocking into the nearest of the Mutie guards. The guard retaliated by swinging his gun toward Jack and squeezing the flat black trigger. There was a brief burst of blue light, dazzling and intense. Jack grabbed at the side of his ribs, where a small strip of cloth was scorched and smoldering.
Fucking bastard!
He pushed the crippled scientist away so that the man staggered and fell, bringing Dr. Tardy down on top of him. There was instant chaos in the living quarters. A meaty sec man raked a line across the plastic floor in front of Ryan and the others, leaving a burned strip as a warning against interfering in the fight.
Shit!
Helpless, they could do nothing but watch the 14-year-old take on the other 3 sec guards, without benefit of a weapon.
Ceasefire! Minimum force! Subdue the stranger!
The stranger wasn't about to let himself be subdued. Over the years, Ryan Carter had seen men and women who had lethal skills in hand-to-hand fighting, but he'd never seen anyone quite as good as Jack Lauren. The boy dropped to the floor, pushing out with his fingers, kicking at the knees of the nearest guard. There was the clear crack of bones snapping, and the mutie toppled sideways, landing on the plastic tiles. The guard's helmet rolled off, revealing for the first time the face of one of the scientist's sec-men.
What the fuck?
It was the face of a slobbering idiot, rolling eyes behind the glittering visor, and a mouth that opened and closed like a landed fish. The creature came up on one knee, hand snatching at the broken joint, spittle trailing across his chest. Jack glanced sideways, measured the distance, and kicked once more, his foot striking the base of the mutie's broad nose. Cartilage split and bones splintered. Jagged shards were driven deep into the front of what passed for brains in the sec man. The guard flopped back, legs kicking and flailing, blood trickling from his open mouth, where the rictus of dying agony had made him bite through his own blubbery tongue. Jack wasn't interested in the man behind him. He jabbed with a clenched fist at the solar plexus of the second sec guard, doubling him over like a fawning courtier. The mutie fell to his knees, gagging. A thread of yellow-green bio wormed from under the rim of his helmet. As he bent over, he exposed the nape of his neck for several seconds. Jack needed only a couple of those seconds. Using the board hard cutting edge of his left hand, the white-haired boy chopped down at the helpless creature.
Oh, for the love of all that is holy!
Vertebrae cracked. The mutie fell, mortally wounded, to join his partner on the blood-smeared floor. The third guard backed away, waving the laser blaster helplessly, head turning back and forth, waiting for orders. Dr. Tardy had gotten to her feet, ignoring her companion, who was having problems with his prosthetic arm. She chattered into a tiny lapel mic. It was too quiet for Ryan to hear what she was saying. But it didn't take a giant intellect to guess. She was calling up reinforcements to take the boy.
Hit the mutie, fucker, kid!
720!
Watch him, Jack!
The third segment fiddled with the dial control on the side of his weapon, then pushed the slide from 2 up to 20, from scorch to destroy. But Jack was too quick. He came in like a dancer, perfectly balanced, red eyes glowing ferociously. As the mutie clumsily leveled the blaster, Jack batted it aside with one hand. The force of the blow was enough to send the stubby weapon spinning into the air. It landed, and a microsecond stream of deep blue light spat from the muzzle. The beam hit the wall to the left of Christie's bed, blasting a smoking hole in the concrete. Fortunately for everyone, after that single brief pulse of laser power, the gun lay still. Standing with legs slightly apart, the guard turned to watch the flight of his blaster. That gave Jack all the chance he needed. With dazzling Street Fighter speed, he kicked hard. His foot crunched between the sec man's thighs, pulping the scrotal sac against the sharp edge of the pubic bone.
Malfunction has ensued, malfunction has ensued, malfunction has...
The white-haired boy's hands clutched the sec man's groin. For a few fluttering heartbeats, it looked as if Jack was going to do it. The guard covering the others hesitated, head turning, blind visored, seeking orders. Dr. Tardy stood away from the door, face pale as death at the sight of two of her precious sec men down and dying, and a third crippled. Then, the backup force arrived. Through the door came a dozen or more black-uniformed muties, all holding blasters at the ready. They fanned out and covered the single, skinny young boy. Ryan sucked at his teeth, knowing the cord of Jack's life was a heartbeat away from being severed forever. One word from the woman...
Negative termination.
The cripple was finally on his feet, wiping sweat from his high forehead with his normal hand. He leaned forward in a curiously reptilian manner, studying the albino boy.
He is most interesting, Dr. Tardy.
Indeed he is, Dr. Avian. I have never seen or heard of such skill and control, lethal-wise.
Ryan relaxed. They weren't going to have the kid turned into steaming spray and spilled guts after all.
You will go to control, boy.
You're gonna chill him?
If the answer turned out to be yes, he would let them take Jack and watch for a chance to go after them and save the kid.
I don't read you.
Kill him, waste him, terminate him.
Jack stood watching, his chest hardly moving more than normal, despite having put down 3 armed men, 2 of them for keeps. The other sec men kept their blasters on full power, covering Ryan and the rest.
Negative termination. We must examine him carefully and cherish him. A mutie beyond all muties, this one. No. Remainder of you can sleep peacefully. He comes.